It has been a week. It has been a very odd week as we've watched the weather horizon continually to see which way a hurricane was going to blow. As the news came across our screens or our small tablets or even our phones with those terrible alerts that tell you that something is happening. I really would wish they would make a happy alert, but every time my phone goes off, I know it's not a happy alert. It's another new alert about something that we as humanity may have done that we might be crying in our soup about. So this week, as I watched the news and watched the news people share with us the story of what happened at Umpqua Community College in Oregon, about what happened in Afghanistan in a fight to free a nation, and the collateral damage was Doctors Without Borders. As I listened to the news all around the world, I thought, Lord, Lord, what do you want us to hear this Sunday morning? And I was really grateful it was St. Francis of Assisi's Sunday, because then I could go find his scriptures and preach on them. And the Lord said, no, this is the lectionary. This is where you're going. And this is what I want people to know. That in the midst of it all, God still reigns. And even though we might have our own sense of what humanity really looks like, and it may not be a very positive sense, we hear the remnants of Psalm 8 in chapter 2 of Hebrews. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? And then you have crowned them with glory and honor. How often do we need to hear those words? Not about the rest of humanity, maybe about the rest of humanity, but about ourselves. That God is mindful of us. That God cares for us. And that God has crowned us with glory and honor. Okay, this is not, you know, Miss America deodum crown that you get to go brag about and be homecoming queen with. This is a different crown. This is a crown that says, you, my beloved brother or sister, with you I am well pleased. I love you. And we might be looking at ourselves and thinking, no, we're playing in the mud puddle of sin and covered with the muck of our own bad behaviors and poor choices. But God sees us shining in glory and honor. But he goes on to tell us that he understands what we are going through. He understands it so well. He loves us so much that he put Christ through the same suffering death that we will all experience. So we can either do one of two things, brothers and sisters. We can move into a place of hopelessness and despair, because we do believe that humans think they are in control of all things and are controlling them in ways that are bringing the world and us into destruction. Or we can believe in a God who loves us, who crowns us with glory and honor even in the midst of our sinfulness. A God who loves us so much that the one who really is in control of all things is his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. It says here, as this unknown writer of Hebrews is writing to a people to try to explain to them exactly who Jesus is, says, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. The world is suffering right now. We don't know which way to turn. And we want to say in the midst of it all that there is no hope. But then what have you said about God? As soon as you turn to that place of despair, what have you said about the God who created the heavens and the earth and called them very good? Have you said that he cannot redeem the world? Have you said that death and hate and evil are going to win? This morning, we're gathering at this table. This table that Jesus asked his disciples on that night before he was crucified. Asked them to do this in remembrance. Asked them to remember. So what were they to remember? They were to remember after his death that his sacrifice was for them and for the world. They were to remember who he was, who he ate with, who he healed, who he sought to bring back into the body of Christ. They were to remember that it was his body that was sacrificed. They were to remember that it was his blood that was shed. They were to remember that God loved them and the world so much that he would make the choice to come to the world and be treated by the humans that he created and called very good, treated in such a way that he would be whipped and beaten and hung on a cross to die. And there on that cross would say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We can either put our trust in a God who sees us crowned in glory, who sees the wonder and the beauty of who each and every one of us are, who sees the gift we are to the world and how he created us. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. And my favorite scripture is, "I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb." Before we succumb to despair, before we believe that death and evil wins, we need to look to the perfecter of our faith and know that through the cross, through his sacrifice, through it all, God won, because death did not have victory over Jesus Christ. He is risen from the dead, and he will come again and bring peace and justice into the world. What's our job in the meantime? Our job is to remember who we are. Our job is to remember who we are as brothers and sisters with Christ. Our job is to remember, to hold our heads up high, to join together in worship, to celebrate at the Lord's table, to feast and commune with one another, and to share and witness to the world about our loving God and Creator. To step in those places where hate and evil and despair are running rampant, and to proclaim a different message. A message of hope. A message of peace. A message of love and comfort. Because think about it. Think about a card you can receive because someone created it. And the joy you felt when you opened it. And the joy Frances felt when she created it. The connections that remind us that we are of value to God and to one another. Because each of us wears that crown if we proclaim Jesus Christ. But there are so many out there who need to know how wonderful they are. And maybe it's God who's calling on us, calling on me and you to share that message. It still baffles my mind on this particular Sunday that as we gather around Christ's table, that table has been 24 hours made. Because if you think about the world clock, somewhere, at some point in 24 hours, someone is saying the great thanksgiving and praying over these elements. And we don't know where they're doing it. It may be in a Greek Orthodox church where everyone's been standing for 3 hours. It could be in a Roman Catholic cathedral, and they're getting those wafers on the little... It can be in a home where they're having home church. It can be going to visit those who are sick and homebound with the elements from service. And it's going to be here at this altar. God's feast of the heavenly banquet, the foretaste of what peace looks like in Christ's world, in God's world, is being celebrated around the world, even in places like Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and Egypt and China and Japan and South America. You just name the place. Somewhere, someone is breaking the bread of Christ. God wants us to know the power He has when we say yes to God, that He can do all things through those of us who proclaim His name and wear our crowns. So I didn't bring you crowns this morning, but we are feasting at the table. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.